And you are joined by Susan Comrie. Susan Comrie, investigative journalist at Amabongani Centre for Investigative Journalism. Susan, good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for reading.
You guys do a lot of great work. So we always keep a close eye, a very close eye on it. So Deloitte's been in your crosshairs, or maybe I should say on your radar, for some time. But that investigation and that look into them was parked up until this particular bombshell dropped by Jabu Mabuza. Why?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so we had started looking at Deloitte in 2018, and it was really when we were taking a look at Nkonki Inc., the kind of the black-owned auditing firm, which was covertly acquired by Salim Esser. And it was in that context that we started looking at those Deloitte contracts, because something struck us as very odd, and that was that of the big four consult or the big four auditing accounting firms, three of them had got contracts from Eskom, consulting contracts around this time, and all three had picked Nkonki as their partner. So that had kind of made us put some of those firms that had partnered with Nkonki on our radar. We had spoken to Deloitte at the time. They had sent us various kind of written responses. But as you said, we had sort of parked the story in 2018. We'd kind of put it on the back burner into a file and said, you know, let's keep an eye on it, but we don't really have quite enough to go on. Then, as you say, Eskom files this affidavit. It comes out, you know, in the news that they're kind of accusing Deloitte of pure corruption, they say. And we say, hang on a second, actually, we know about those two contracts. We were looking at those two contracts. So we start taking the information. We have the information Eskom has now put into the courts, and we start joining the dots in that way.
And let's talk about those dots, because you've scoured around, what, 1,000 documents in Eskom's affidavit. You've taken your own research into this. What have your investigations revealed, and also what are some of the big questions that you are left with that we should know about?
Sure. I mean, so the first part of the story, which is what we've put out today, that really deals with the process that took place, how Deloitte got these contracts. And I think that has left a lot of questions for us. I mean, the version that we had from Deloitte in 2018 has actually changed. In 2019, they've given us a slightly different version of how it came about. But, you know, you're still left with a situation where there are all of these procurement processes which Eskom has laid out. There are all of these procurement processes which Treasury, you know, all the way up to the Constitution, lays out how contracts have to be awarded in government. And it just looks like the way in which Deloitte got these contracts just blew through every one of those regulations. I mean, you have kind of submitting these unsolicited bids, the bids supposedly being signed off by Eskom officials, sometimes, you know, within a day. They're signing off to say, yes, we accept your unsolicited bid, and it's, you know, budgets running into tens, twenties, thirties, millions. Jeez. And no procurement processes seemingly being done to award those contracts. What then happens is that at some point, Eskom says, listen, actually, we do have to go through a procurement process to appoint you. And what looks like a real sort of a farce of a procurement process gets put in place. And, you know, other companies waste their time by bidding. And it really looks like the whole thing is just designed to ensure that Deloitte, with these huge budgets that they put in, get the contracts handed to them on a silver platter.
Listen, if Eskom pays same day, I'd like to do business with them as well. Thank you. Now, this, if one looks at, and this is in your article, right? One of Mabuza's sensational claims, as, and I quote you directly, was that Deloitte was paid nearly 60 million rand for around 3 weeks' work, let's say 13 days. They claimed 35,850 hours. Now, let's be generous and say these wonderful consultants, who, by the way, worked at Risk, we'll get to that, put in 12-hour working days because they were desperate to get this contract. 2,988 days work, if you divide that by 12 hours. How do they explain this? Because this was only 3 weeks after they got the contract. I don't know many people who can work that efficiently. How do they explain at least these working days?
So that was kind of my reaction as well. When I saw those figures and I did the back of the envelope calculation like you did, and I said, okay, there's clearly something else going on here. And so what it really turns out had been happening is that before Deloitte was awarded the contract, they were working on these contracts already. So they were working for around 4 to 5 months at ESCOM already on these projects, you know, which then raises questions about they're already doing the work. You then put out a contract to acquire work which in some instances has already been completed. Supposedly ESCOM has already agreed to pay Deloitte for that work. And then you go out on an RFQ process to say, oh, well, let's now pretend like we're going to make this fair and competitive in an open bidding process.
Okay,
so, even if one takes those figures and you say, okay, those 35,850 hours, that's not over a three-week period. That's not what was happening. If you look at when Deloitte says that they first started deploying teams into ESCOM working without a contract, that takes us back to around May, June. Calculate that, and we've got a little graphic that we've put on our website. You can find it on our Twitter page, where we calculate what that would work out to. And we get to 42 people working full-time for 5 months. Now, okay, Deloitte is a massive company. They have a lot of resources, a lot of consultants who may be, you know, sitting on the beach, so to say. Mm-hmm. So maybe it is worth their while to deploy those people to be working at risk. But you're still putting a vast amount of money at risk and resources at risk. And it really raises questions about what they knew, what they were being told about whether they had this contract in the bag.
But it's not as if it's
so
the only...
I still have questions about those figures, and I will say so does ESCOM. ESCOM has said to us, look, Deloitte needs to actually come to court, give us the names of these consultants, give us the timesheets to show that those hours were actually worked. So they have a lot of skepticism about those figures, which Deloitte was putting into their invoice.
One can understand doing one bit of work on risk, right? And maybe you're hedging your bets here and you go, oh, maybe we're going to get it, right? Everybody else has worked with them conky. Maybe we're going to get it. But anyway, it's not the only time they worked on risk, though.
Yes. So that's one of the interesting things for us is when we initially looked at it, and they had initially described the situation to us where they would be working at risk before a procurement process goes ahead and before they have to bid for the contract. And one of the things that we had found so strange is to say, you're not rolling the dice on one contract, you're actually rolling the dice on five separate contracts. That seems outrageously risky. What Deloitte then came back to us and said was, no, actually, we had been promised these contracts. We were told that we didn't need to go through a procurement process to get those contracts. It then only came out later, they said, that ESCOM turned around, reneged on that promise and said, no, actually, you do need to go through a procurement process. So, you know, these kind of different versions that we have from Deloitte, each one of the versions raises different problems for them.
I was wondering why ESCOM is spending so much money on toilet paper. It looks like they've taken the PMFA and they've deployed that into their toilets. I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy. And, you know, that's what there have been some really nice tweets that people have put out kind of commenting on that. You know, there was a guy from Cape Town, an engineer, who said, look, it took him something like a year to get a 100,000 rand contract signed off. Seemingly, Deloitte comes along, they deliver a proposal for, you know, 30-something million rand, and it gets signed off the very next day to say, yes, we accept. Now, that's a problem. If you look at Treasury's practice note, it's actually quite brief and quite succinct, so I'd encourage everyone to go and read it. If you look at their practice note that they wrote about consultants, they say, look, before you hire consultants, you have to do a needs analysis. Mm. You need to know, do we really need consultants here? Can we not do this work in-house? How crucial is this work? And only if you've gone through all those steps, then you can think about hiring consultants. But you have to be... you know, you have to be really circumspect. You can't just hire a whole army of consultants. It has to be really limited and really based according to the absolute desperate need that you have. And one of the issues that we have is that there's no indication. There's no way that you can bring in a whole sort of army of consultants and say, well, we absolutely needed it. With ESCOM's workforce of, and you might have the figure off the top of your head better than I do, I think it's, what, 40-something thousand people?
Yes. just over 40, we don't know the exact number, but definitely over 40,000.
Eskom needed to first find out whether any one of those 40,000 people could have done the work, and there's no indication that they did that. Instead, it looks like this kind of, you know, blank check of just bringing in consultants to kind of run amok inside Eskom.
In Eskom's defense, I mean, look at where they are at the moment, half a trillion rand in debt. If there were anybody that could do the work, they obviously didn't rock up at the office. But I look at this, and yes, I would love Deloitte to join us, because I phoned a senior director at Deloitte today. I said, listen, we'd like your response to it, but communications people have been very quiet. I don't know what they're doing, but we're going to try and get them on, because this is going to take some explaining. I just want to go back. By the way, if you've just tuned in, you are listening to Cape Talk. This is Today. I'm Kina Cummings, and I'm with you until 12. And you are also listening to one of the best investigative journalists that we have in this country, Susan Combrie, investigative journalist at the Amabongani Center for Investigative Journalism. We're chatting about contracts that Deloitte received from Eskom. Eskom saying that Deloitte owes them 207 million rand. And we've been looking at all the nuances around that as well. I want to go back to the difference in prices or the quotations. Deloitte on 79.1, competitors 16 million and 9.1. Now, are these competitors big four competitors that charged those amounts?
No, well, that's the interesting thing, is that you have, you know, there was a system that Eskom had put in place, a panel system, so that basically they didn't have to go out on a full tender every time they wanted work.
Okay.
So what they did is that they selected a certain number of firms, I think it was around 8 or 9 firms, and they invite them to bid. They say, here is the work that we want you to bid for it.
Mm.
Now, an RFP, an RFQ in particular, should be written in such a specific way that there shouldn't really be much debate about what type of work needs to be done. It's really a question of what you're going to charge us for that work. In this situation, you have the big consulting firms that are invited to bid. For some reason, they choose not to bid. We don't know why they chose not to. Deloitte's version was, well, they knew that we were the incumbent. It certainly doesn't seem that message was given to everyone. There were a lot of other firms, or there were a handful of other firms who were invited to bid and who did bid, who didn't seem to have received that message that, hey, Deloitte's kind of got this in the bag. So those bids are coming from smaller firms. Now, Deloitte's defense, they said, look, when we look at their proposals that they put in, they just didn't really get the scope of the project. They didn't really get it, and so those bids are unrealistic. Mm. That's Deloitte's version. The other way that one can look at it, you can, and the reason really that Eskom decides to give the contract to Deloitte, despite it being more expensive, is that they say, well, the other firms haven't really put forward enough to consultants. But one has to go back and say, well, what was Eskom using as its benchmark? And what it seems like is that Eskom seems to have based their benchmark on what Deloitte told them the project needed. So, you know, that really speaks to that kind of unfairness about saying, you know, you're setting the goals and you are delivering on the, you know, you're delivering the perfect contract. Mm. So it's really around that kind of manipulation. I mean, we would like to know from the people who actually put those figures together and said, this is what we think the contract, the number of people that's required for this contract, this is how many people is required. We tried to ask them, you know, where did you get those figures? How did you come up with those estimates of what this contract required? So, I mean, it's really a case of it looks like the process, the RFQ process, really was manipulated and fixed before it actually went ahead. The fact is that one of the guys who was doing the bid evaluations looks at Deloitte's prices and says, look, I've scored Deloitte the highest, but we really need to talk about those prices because they seem very excessive, was the words that he used.
Well, Susan, as always, phenomenal work. We'll keep following
And
the sad thing is, what we allege to be happening here happens in municipalities across the country, where service providers, for example, know people and they go, come, let us write your request, your RFPs. for you, and they put it out, and there's only one company that can really win it, and it's really, really sad, and we wonder why we in so much doo-doo at the moment. But once again, great work, and thank you for joining us on the show.
No, thanks very much. We'll have part two out as soon as we can. And